From Delray Beach, Florida, welcome to Life Change Weekend with Dr. Dino Padrone. Hear the stories of individuals who, through their conversion experiences, books written, ministry served, special truths from Scripture, or trips taken, tell their story. These stories and teachings are life-changing. So thank you for joining us, and get set for some life change. Here is your host, Dr. Dino Padrone.
Thank you, David, and good having you introducing our program every weekend. Thank you for that. And we're glad that you're listening in to Life Change Weekend program that we have through Dino Padrone Ministries out of Delray Beach, Florida. We are so glad to have with us Jim Woodward. And this is a very special weekend for all of us as we think about going to church on Sunday and spending time in the resurrection. But, you know, many times what happens is we go out into the world and then there are all the challenges. And we began talking to Jim last week. Jim's a dear friend of mine. And Jim is out of the upstate New York area and has been doing police work and then chaplaincy work, and we'll talk about that today. But we ended it with a question last week talking about darkness and brokenness and dysfunction. And when he was in the police department, how do you cope with that? And Jim, I thought that'd be a good question for us to start on. We have a lot of other questions we want to go through here today. But again, thanks so much for being on. Maybe you could just touch on that a little bit for us.
Sure. So, you know, there's a lot of troubles and trials and things that happen in our world, and sometimes they get so out of hand that it comes to the point of criminal activity or a bad car accident or those sorts of things. And so first responders go to those scenes and they have to deal with them. And when they get there, they can't call 911 for help. They're sent there by 911. And so there's a lot of sadness and the darkness and depressing things. You know, there's dangers in this line of work. And so how do you cope with that as a police officer? How do you cope with these things as a firefighter? Well, it's important to have, for me, the way I coped was through my Christian faith and more specifically a life of prayer. My prayer life was my mechanism to cope with stress. And then beyond that, it's really, really helpful to have people in your life. I was blessed and am blessed to have a supportive wife, friends and family. And as a Christian, I really believe that the local church is something that every Christian should be involved in. Unfortunately, many people, and it's not just first responders, many people don't cope well with stress. And there's all kinds of things that cause stress in our lives, whether it's relational, financial, illness, whatever. And so many people don't respond well to that, and they get into excess drinking or make other poor decisions, and it just makes matters worse. And unfortunately, as we know, divorce is very common and those sorts of things.
Yeah, Jim, somebody's listening into the program and they're probably thinking, you know, I don't really know how to pray. You know, when you talk about prayer, could you give them a couple of pieces of advice about praying?
Sure. You know, oftentimes people do get a little intimidated about prayer. And so I will say this, your prayer life really begins to take off once you have trusted in Christ and you have that relationship with God through the person of Jesus. And when you have that, prayer is just, it's just communication. That's all it is. And sometimes we have this idea that we've got to have this correct verbiage and Christianese, if you will, and say the right things and start out the prayer and end the prayer, you know, the right way. And, you know, interestingly enough, in the Sermon on the Mount, that Jesus talks about prayer, and it gives what I believe is a template for prayer in that Lord's Prayer, the things that we need to talk about, you know, about His will, and give us this day our daily bread, and just remembering Him. And then earlier in that prayer, he talks about don't get into, or early in that passage, he talks about don't get into vain repetition. So if your prayer looks the same way all the time, that's probably not a good thing. You know, mix it up and have different times of prayer. You know, when I was at the police department, constantly, I'm sending up a quick prayer to God, because in another part of the city, you know, a police officer may be pulling over a stolen car, or they may be about ready to apprehend a man who is suspected of being an armed robber, and you get concerned for your brother and sister officers. So I would send up a quick prayer, God help in that situation. And it was nothing formal where, our Father in heaven, we come before you now as this officer is about reading it. You know, it wasn't that. It was a really short prayer. And so I would just encourage people. You know, there's a passage in the Bible that talks about having, you know, pray without ceasing. Have an attitude of prayer. So those are just a few thoughts I have about prayer.
Yeah, that's excellent, Jim. Now, your ministry as a chaplain began in the police department. Tell us how that was initiated, how that took place.
Sure, that is true. That is when and how it happened. When I joined the police department, I was 20 years old. And to my shame, I was ashamed of Jesus as my Lord and Savior. I didn't compromise my faith, but I was not outspoken about my Christianity. I was the proverbial Secret Service Christian. Well, as I grew up in the police department, I came more comfortable in my faith, more comfortable in who I am, and I hope I wasn't too overbearing, but basically more bold about my faith, and I would get involved in spiritual discussions at work and so forth. And then toward the end of my career, there was this Chaplain's Academy, this local Chaplain's Academy that was happening, and I was interested in going to that. And the police department, I'll never forget this, I'll always be appreciative, a deputy chief with the police department agreed to send me to that academy. And so I went to that academy and I became a chaplain with the police department. And so not only was I doing detective work, but I was also being a chaplain. And the police department really endorsed me doing this chaplain ministry.
Yeah, that's remarkable how all that began to take place and how God used you. Jim, you've been an influence in a lot of people's life, but who's been an influence in your life and your ministry?
You know what? I'm getting a little emotional here, you know, because I'm so aware of how many people have poured into my life. It's just unbelievable how many people have poured into my life, whether it's teachers or pastors or friends. But let me try to answer that question without getting too emotional. My wife has been a big influence. My parents, my pastors, friends. I mentioned that deputy chief at the police department who believed in me to send me to that academy. Mentors in my life, of which I consider you to be one of them. I've met other police officers who've been an influence and a help to me. I think of Jonathan Hickory. He's the administrator of the Break Every Chain page, and there's a book by that title and a movie by that title. I think of another guy by the name of Patrick Shaver, who's the administrator of Officer Involved. He has allowed me to write devotionals, and he will post them on his page for a Sunday morning. So it's such a blessing that Patrick has been to me. But, you know, for your audience, those names that would be more familiar, I think of Billy Graham. Shortly after I joined the police department, I went to a Billy Graham crusade here in Rochester. David Jeremiah, I've had the blessing of hearing him live. I've heard Greg Laurie, Joe Stoll, John MacArthur, Charles Spurgeon, C.S. Lewis, Agent Rogers. Those are some of the guys that, you know, I had been influenced by. And then, of course, from the Bible, you know, the Apostle Paul, what a hero for so many. And then, of course, the ultimate, Jesus Christ.
I love that answer because there's a variety of people there. And it's been said we are the same except for the people we meet and the books we read. I think social media can be added into that as well nowadays. But it really is important to have influencers. And so I would encourage our listeners out there, listen to a variety of people that Jim just mentioned and stop and think about who those people are. And if somebody's been an influence in your life, tell them that and stop and think about who you're influencing. You're listening into Life Change Weekend. This is Dina Padron talking to you from our ministry here in Delray Beach, Florida. Jim is up in Rochester, New York, as we're doing this interview today. And we have a book that we want you to encourage you to get. It's called Words That Change History, that comes out from our library here. My son, Jonathan, and his father, me, took a journey on words that can affect lives out of the Bible that give you a fresh perspective. This book takes us to some of the narratives that were conversations thousands of years ago, and it's an invitation to reconsider those words as to how they change a life, words that change history. You can get the book simply by going to our webpage at dinopadroneministries.org. That's Dino Padron, D-I-N-O-P-E-D-R-O-N-E, ministries, plural.org, or you can go to Amazon and get the book and simply make your order there. We'd love to have the book in your library, in your heart, in your home, and it's, I think, a book that is really a very helpful book. It's a great book, especially for young converts and people that are struggling to find the faith. I think this book will be very helpful. Our guest again is Jim Woodward. And Jim, what advice would you give to anyone who wants to become a first responder?
Well, I would encourage it cautiously. I would encourage it carefully. It's a calling. It's similar to someone who's called into the ministry of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Of course, we know from Romans that the Apostle Paul considered law enforcement to be ministers of God. And, you know, my father one time said something kind of surprising. You know, my dad was a longtime minister, and he said something like this: Jim, as far as I'm concerned, you're just as much a minister as I am. So it is a calling, but as a Christian, if you go into this line of work, don't be ashamed of your faith, live out your faith, and you'll be tripping over yourself with ministry opportunities, if not people you're interacting with in a home where someone's having, you know, a family squabble or a family dispute of some sort, you know, amongst your colleagues, when you pull up car to car and you have conversations with your colleagues, you know, with your fellow officer, you'll have opportunities to share your faith and to point them to the ultimate hope, which is God and the Lord Jesus Christ. I would also suggest that, you know, remember to maintain a balance in life to your work and your home life. You know, sometimes there's all these opportunities to work overtime. Be careful. Overtime will be there, but the time with loved ones, you know, the kids grow up fast. So prioritize relationships over material possessions.
Yeah, and you know, Jim, you're hitting on a nerve, I think, right there with marriage. When people are in leadership, I know pastors who sometimes are embarrassed to admit the fact that they have a marital problem because they're not supposed to have those kind of things. And I'm sure first responders have struggles with their marriage. Is there other advice you would give about a situation like with somebody struggling in their marriage who's a first responder?
Sure. Let me say this. If I didn't have the Lord in my life, I honestly don't know if my marriage would have survived those decades of being in law enforcement, because you deal with problems all day long and you get home and you have this bent to want to just emotionally check out. Well, your family needs you, and you can't really emotionally check out as a husband and as a dad. So the advice I would give to a first responder who's struggling with their marriage, number one, it's a sign of strength to reach out for help. Don't think that you're all alone. That's the enemy speaking. The enemy wants you to think that no one else has these troubles. No, a lot of people have these same troubles that you're having. So I would encourage people, get involved in meaningful relationships. For me, it was at my local church. Prioritize, you know, your wife, prioritize those times with your kids. Live within your means. Don't be working so much so to pay for these extra toys and the snowmobiles and the boats and all those things that you don't really need. When you get involved in financial stress, then that's stress you don't need. There's enough stress on the job as it is. You don't need to add to the stress. And of course, you really want to always honor your marriage vows. When people choose not to honor their marriage vows, it's really poor decision making. Make good decisions. Make one good decision right after the other. One good decision right after the other. But you know, my ultimate advice was, you really should consider having God in your life. It made a world of difference in my life. And Jesus talks about this relationship with God in the Gospel of John, chapter 3.
Yeah. Jim, tell us a little bit about, when you talk about God working, talk a little bit about God working at a police department.
Well, I alluded earlier that as a police officer or as a first responder, you have all these opportunities for ministry. You're like tripping over yourself. I remember one time myself and a, this was early in my career, myself and a chaplain, a dear friend, we went to see a young police officer in the hospital who was very ill. And actually, he died later that year. Very sad situation. But as we were meeting with him, you know, we had a closing prayer. And during the prayer, he did something a little unique. He just said right during the prayer that he was trusting in God, trusting in God to be his Savior. And so those moments, you never forget them. They're very meaningful and humbling, how God is able to use you, just a servant of his, to be used of God is just a wonderful thing. And then I've had the privilege of helping other police officers in their Christian faith and being involved in their baptism. And to see how God can change your life, it's a miracle. You know, it's a miracle how God can change your life when someone will surrender to Jesus.
Yeah, it's great to hear all of that with the police department, Jim. It really is. Now, I remember some years ago, you and I talked, and you were discussing retiring. My first thought was, you look too young to retire. And then I remember that it happened, and I really admired how you talked about it. You were open about it. How did this come about, this decision in your life? And tell us about some advice you might have for people that are thinking about retirement and maybe on a guilt trip about doing it.
Well, thank you for that question. It was beyond a doubt, for whatever reason, the hardest decision I've ever had to make in my life. The police department is kind of like the military in that after 20 years of service, you're eligible for retirement. And so at 20 years, you kind of think about it. And year after year after year would come and go, come and go. And at the end of my career, there was a set of circumstances that it really seemed like God was leading me to retire. And it came to the point where I had a real peace about it. And yet about a week out, Dino, I wept like a baby. I wept like a baby that I was retiring from the police department, and yet I knew it was meant to be. I knew it was the right decision. This is something I prayed for. I sought counsel over, and I was there for 32 years. And quite frankly, I think at 32 years of just about any profession, you may be ready for the next chapter. And so it's not something to be done inadvisedly. Get counsel, pray about it, but also realize what's the next step. I don't believe that God has us to retire from something just to sit around and do nothing. You know, even if it's volunteer work, whatever it is, find something how you can serve the kingdom. And that's been my story, and I give God the credit for that. I give God the credit for that, how he's opened up all these doors for me since I retired from the police department.
Yeah, and I think that's really good advice, Jim. I've talked to a lot of people in my lifetime who have stepped away from something, we call it retirement, who perhaps are more active now than ever in a perhaps a little bit different vein of life, but it really is exciting. I know in my own life, we've gone into all kind of ministry now, and the fulfillment is just overwhelming. It really is. Now, I know you're very involved in your local church. You go to what I consider an outstanding church. Tell us where you attend and also what you do there.
I attend First Bible Baptist Church. It's a church that's been around since the mid-60s. It's in the Rochester, New York area. The pastor there is Kevin Pesky. The pastor before him, who was there for decades, George Grace. I do believe that Christians should be involved and active in a local church. You know, Billy Graham said this: you do not go to church to hear a sermon. You go to church to worship God and serve him in the fellowship of other Christians. You cannot be a successful and happy Christian without being faithful in church. In the church, you will find your place of service. We are saved to serve. And it's an honor to serve, Dino. It really is. It's a privilege. And so I'm on the safety and security team there. I'm also a very adjunct professor or instructor, I should say, at the Bible Institute there. By no means am I a full-time instructor there, but I've been honored to be a part-time instructor there. And then I've served in other capacities there as well. I don't have all the gifts my wife has. She serves on the music ministry and those sorts of things. But yes, happy to be involved in serving there at the church.
So as busy as you are, what do you do in your downtime?
Well, I don't like to do things that cost a lot of money, like golf. I just find enjoyment in kind of the simple things in life. I enjoy a backyard campfire. I enjoy grilling. I enjoy hiking up in the Adirondacks. I enjoy walks. I have a very nice bike that my wife bought me a number of years ago, a hybrid bike. So I enjoy biking and those sorts of things. I even enjoy yard work. And I enjoy swimming, basically anything outdoors. I enjoy photography and so forth. As far as sports, I am an avid fan of the Buffalo Bills. Maybe one of these years they'll win the Super Bowl. That'd be a beautiful thing. On occasion, I've gone to a game. Earlier this year, for the first time in my life, I went to a playoff game where the Cincinnati Bengals played the Buffalo Bills. Unfortunately, the Bills should have won that game, but unfortunately, the Bills played poorly, and they lost to the Bengals.
I go up to Buffalo quite a bit for meetings with some a board that I'm on and also speaking. And I know that when you're a Bill fan all the way, which I admire, by the way. If people want to get a hold of you, tell us how they can get a hold of you. I really like, Jim, that you're out preaching in churches. You're available for pulpit supply. You're available to preach in various conferences. I think that's a wonderful opportunity for you and for the people. How do people get a hold of you?
Yes, well, thank you for highlighting that. That is something I do in my RPD career. I'm available for churches for fill-in speaking, to fill the pulpit. I am also available to funeral homes to preside over services. Many people don't have a pastor or a minister or a home church, and they have a death in the family. They need someone to preside over the service, and that's something that I'm often doing. And it's my passion to help people in their time of grief, and my time with the police department really helped prepare me for that. And then other things I do, I'm still a chaplain to law enforcement, and I'm a chaplain of my local fire department. But if someone wanted to reach me, I suppose the easiest thing would be to connect with me on my chaplain's page. I have a chaplain's page, James Woodward. I get a little careful and cautious because there's so many fake accounts out there or suspicious accounts, but typically I'm very open to accepting a friend request if a pastor was interested in having me at his church or those sorts of things.
Well, Jim, these last 2 weeks have been such a blessing. Thank you for coming on with us. Life Change Weekend comes to you every Saturday. We're glad that you've listened in today with my good friend Jim Woodward, who's told us his story the last 2 weeks, a beautiful and wonderful story. And my friend, all of us are building a story in our life. It's a story of what we've been doing, but it's a story of how God can intervene in our life and change our lives. And so that's what Life Change is about. The Word of God, Christ Himself, changes our lives. Don't forget our Monday through Friday Bible studies over all of these stations that we're on. And this, of course, this weekend edition as well. Thank you for listening again. Have a wonderful and blessed weekend. Enjoy the services of your church tomorrow. God bless you.
Listening to Life Change Weekend. Life Change is brought to you through the International Dino Padron Ministry, which includes radio, television, live stream programming, podcasts, literature, online education, the support of Indigenous ministries, and progressive approaches to help people grow their faith. To receive our complimentary monthly newsletter, send your postal or email address to dinopadrone@gmail.com or dinopadroneministries.org. That's dinopadrone@gmail.com or dinopadroneministries.org. Stay tuned to our weekday Bible study, Monday through Friday. Thank you for joining us, and we'll be with you next week on Life Change Weekend.